thankful for the opportunity that opportunities that I have to speak, and I appreciate the elders making this opportunity available to me. And I think that the things that I prepared this evening will be beneficial to all of us. As I prepare lessons to teach, I find that I tend to study and work on things that I need myself. And that is certainly the case with tonight's lesson. Tonight we'll be talking about dealing with sin and other difficulties in our lives. In 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, beginning verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food, all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things became our example, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. And do not become idolaters, as some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immorality, as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed by serpents. Nor complain, as some of them also complained, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation is overtaking you, except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond that which you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Therefore, brethren, or therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men. Judge for yourselves what I say." In Paul's letter to the Corinthians, he talks about the Jews as they came out of the land of Egypt and about some of the mistakes that they made as they were led into temptation and gave into that temptation and committed sin before God, and that these things were recorded for our admonition and for our learning. I want us to keep this passage in mind as we go through tonight's lesson. As we live our lives from day to day, there are many challenges that we face. And I'd like to talk about three particular facts or ideas that we need to keep in mind as we go through this lesson. First of all, that we will all be tempted. 1 Corinthians 10, Paul points out the fact that they all went through the same things. But not all of them committed sin in any particular circumstance. James 1 and verse 14 says, "But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed." Many times the temptations that we face come from within ourselves, come from things that we are tempted to do to satisfy our own desires and our own wants. And the passage that we just read, verse 13, Paul specifically mentions that no temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. So we're all going to be tempted. The second thing that we need to remember is that we've all given in to temptation. We've all committed sin. In Romans 3, in verse 23, it says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." We've all made those mistakes. We're all in the same boat when it comes to sin. And thirdly, we will all have good and bad things happen in our lives. This morning, Jeff read a passage from Ecclesiastes 9. He talked about verse 10 specifically, and talked about our hands being busy with the work. And immediately following that, the writer says, "I returned and saw under the sun, the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding, nor favor to men of skill, but time and chance happen to them all." Sometimes, no matter what we do, good things and bad things will happen to us in our lives. And so we need to be aware of that fact. Keeping these things in mind, there are choices that we have to make in our lives. And we need to prepare to make the right choices. In Ephesians chapter 6, beginning with verse 11, "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle with flesh, or wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel and peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you are able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." This is a familiar passage to almost all of us, if not all of us. And the whole idea behind this passage is being prepared to make ourselves ready to combat temptation when it comes our way, to be prepared to ward off the fiery darts of the evil one. Part of that preparation means that we need to study. We can't know what God would have us to do if we're not studying His Word and learning what He would have us to do. We can't have the strength of faith that we need to have without having a personal understanding of God and His nature that we can gain through studying the Old Testament as well as the New. Matthew 4, verses 3 through 5, Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Emphasizing the idea that we have to listen to what God says. 2 Timothy 2:15, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Again, that idea of study and being familiar and understanding His Word. 2 Timothy 3:16, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." So we need to prepare ourselves to make the right choice by studying God's Word and knowing what He would have us to do. We also can be prepared by having good examples to look to. There's perhaps no better chapter in the Scriptures that is full of examples, or full of more examples than chapter 11 of Hebrews. I'd like to look at a few of these. Remember Abel, we're all familiar with the story of Cain and Abel. And in verse 4, by faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he being dead still speaks. God gave instructions about sacrifice and what was to be done. Abel listened to what God said and obeyed him. Cain did not. So Abel is an example that we can look to. Noah in verse 7 says, by faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. God came to Noah and said, Noah, I want you to build an ark. And he also gave him other instructions as to, you know, to preach the gospel. Noah spent a lot of years working on that ark. And he did it because he believed what God told him. And he was obedient to God. And as a result of that, he and his family were saved, while the rest of the wicked world perished. So we can see the faith of Noah as an example to us. Abraham and Sarah in verses 8 through 19. God came to Abraham and said, I want you to go into a land that I will show you. This is while Abraham was in the Ur of the Chaldees. And Abraham believed him and left, though he had not seen this land or didn't know anything about it. God led him to that land. Sarah, when she was beyond the age of being able to have children, God said that she would conceive a child. And she believed God, and she did conceive that child. And then later on verse 17, by faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called, concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. God came to Abraham and said, I want you to sacrifice his son. This is the same son that he and Sarah had prayed for and were finally given in their old age. And God says, now I want you to sacrifice him. It would have been a hard thing to do. Any of us that are parents would understand that. But yet, Abraham did not hesitate and made preparations to offer sacrifice, or offer Isaac as that sacrifice. Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 2 Corinthians 12, beginning with verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelation, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distress, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. What an example that this is for us to recognize that though Paul had this thorn in the flesh, which of course we don't know what it was, but obviously it was a difficulty for him. And yet he was able to overcome that and continue to persevere and in the face and then of adversity. And then in verse 10 he mentions a number of things, whether it be infirmities such as this thorn in the flesh, in reproaches and needs and persecution and distresses, he was still able to overcome. And that's a good example for us. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1. Imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. So Paul, again, here is a good example for us to follow. And finally, there's Christ. Christ, who was equal with God, who left His throne in heaven to come to this earth and live as a man, to be tempted just like we're tempted, yet without sin. To go through the persecution, the ridicule, and all of the things that happened to him, and yet he persevered. He is probably, or would be, our greatest example. So we can learn from all of these examples and draw strength from them, that we might be able to resist temptation and to deal with difficulties in our lives when they come our way. We also make choices about the people and places that we can get involved in or go to, which make us more susceptible to sin. So we need to be aware of this, and we need to think about the things that we do, the people that we associate with. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, "Do not be deceived. Evil companion or evil company corrupts good habits." We still need to be able to reach out to those people who are in the world and to try to help them and teach them. But we have to do that without getting caught up in the sinful activities that they may be involved in. How weak our example would be when we're trying to bring somebody to the Lord and we're out there participating in the same sinful activities that the world participates in. So we need to be aware of this. The internet, for all of the good, for all of the information that it can bring us. In fact, I used a website to help me look up passages to prepare this very sermon. Yet, it can be a very dangerous place. There are things such as gambling, pornography, violent and explicit videos that are available to us through the internet. We need to be aware of this, and we need to avoid these things lest they cause us to sin. So far, we've talked about a number of things that have to do with temptation that comes our way, difficulty that may come of our own doing because we allow it to happen, because we give in to temptation. But there are things that are happening in our lives, both good and bad, that are beyond our control. And we have to be able to deal with these as well. First of all, we need to recognize that God is in control. That we may not understand some of the things that happen to us and why they happen to us, but God knows about it, and He is in control. And it may be that that bad thing happens to us in order to strengthen us, to give us more resolve, to help us to grow. So we need to keep those things in mind, that God is in control. He knows our troubles. Let's look at Jesus' teaching in Luke chapter 12, beginning with verse 22. Then he said to his disciples, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about the body, what you will put on. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? If you then are not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you that Solomon, even Solomon in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass, which today is in the field, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will He clothe you, O ye of little faith? Do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind, for all these things the nations of the world seek after. And your Father knows that you need these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you." This is no doubt a very familiar passage to us, but it makes some excellent points. We tend, as human beings, to get caught up in the everyday troubles of trying to make a living, trying to provide for our families, and all of those things are good. We're taught in other passages that we need to do those things. But we can't let those things consume us to the point where we don't put God first and His will first in our lives. We should also remember that God hears our prayers. Paul, in his first letter to the Thessalonians, encouraged them to pray without ceasing in chapter 5 and verse 17. He will answer our prayers. Sometimes it may not be the answer we were looking for. So we got to go back and remember that God's in control. Sometimes that answer is not the answer we were looking for, but it's always the right answer. If we understand this, it can bring us comfort in both good times and bad. We need to draw strength individually from God's Word. In the very, very next verse, Paul said to those same Philippians that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And we need to draw strength collectively as a family, as God's family. This is where the very next verse comes in. Got ahead of myself. "Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress." So he tells those same Philippians that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and then turns around in the next verse and commends them for sharing in his distress, for being an encouragement to him, for supporting him in the preaching of the gospel. We, as God's family, should all be providing love and support and encouragement to each other. This is one of the most valuable things that we can do, aside from teaching and seeking the lost, is to encourage each other. Finally, let's think about what we've said this evening. We will face temptation.
We must prepare for battle against the evil one. We talked about putting on the whole armor of God. We also need to remember that God will make a way of escape, but it's up to us to find it. We have to look for it. We have to be prepared to look for it. We will face difficulties in this life. Anybody that's lived any time knows that this is true. We've all experienced the death of a loved one, the financial hardships possibly, the loss of a job. All of those things can happen to us. But with strength from God and support from each other, we will get through them. We have a better life to look forward to after this. Jeff spent a couple of lessons last week talking about why the things are so difficult on this earth. And they indeed are. But we have a life after this one that we can look forward to if we're faithful. There's two scriptures I'd like for us to consider in closing. We've already read Luke's account of this, but in Matthew, the 6th chapter, verse 19, he kind of goes through and says a lot of the things that Luke said, talking about not laying up for yourself treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust corrupt and where thieves do not break up through and steal. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Then skipping on down, he says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And then he talks about the fowls of the air, the grass, just like Luke did in the passage we read earlier. But I want you to look down at the last verse. And he says, take no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. We can spend our energies and time worrying about what might happen, what could happen, and what does happen. But we need to focus our attention on what God would have us to do and let Him take care of the rest. Finally, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, Paul, writing to Timothy, says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all those who have loved His appearing. There's a couple of things I want us to carry with us from this particular passage. Paul had all assurance that he would have that hope, that home in heaven, that crown of righteousness. He did that because he committed himself to serving the Lord and didn't get caught up in the troubles and difficulties of this life. And the second thing that this passage says to me is that all of us have that opportunity. All of us can love His appearing. All of us can know with assurance that we can have that home in heaven when this life is over, that we can make it to that better life. And so we need to keep these things in mind. There are a number of benefits, of those that we've talked about this evening, that we can have as children of God. But if you have not yet obeyed the gospel, if you're not in a proper relationship with God, it's difficult to resist temptation. It's difficult to overcome difficulties in our life. And so, tonight the opportunity is afforded you to make your life right with God. If that means that you have never named the name of Christ and never obeyed the gospel, you have the opportunity to do that tonight. If you have done that, but you've let the cares of this world drag you down, to take your focus away from where it ought to be, tonight you can recommit yourself to that focus. If there are those here this evening that need to make their life right with Christ, right with God, we'd ask that you come while we stand and sing.